Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Brad Huskin is our guest, and our good friend Brad is the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, Realistic Strategies to Increase Your Sales. He's the author of a brand spanking new book that I'm going to get him to tell us about in just a minute, and he's one of our top salesmanship experts. Brad, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. The new book is called Hot Buttered Popcorn.
Well, actually, we've had a reconsideration on that.
We have?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Well, there's another author.
I like that title.
I know. But there's another author out there by the name of Faith Popcorn.
Yeah?
Didn't want to get it confused, so we went with finger food for salespeople.
Okay. Well, now, I know about Faith Popcorn, but she doesn't have a book by that title, does she?
No, but I just thought there might be some confusion there, so.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of good looking, though. I mean, that wouldn't be too bad to wouldn't be too bad a thing to get associated with her.
You're not afraid she'd be confused with me, are you?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think we'd have a problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Brad, what's you're out there every day in the marketplace helping people to train their salespeople on how to put their best foot forward, how to make sure they take their companies into the marketplace. What are some of the things you've been working on lately?
Well, the latest thing that I've been working on is teaching people how to develop personal trade, repeat business, and referral business. And as you know, that's an essential part of any game plan when it comes to developing a successful business over time.
Now, what do you mean by personal trade?
Personal trade would be a customer that knows you by name, feels comfortable with you, and they're your personal salesperson in the industry, your buddy in the business, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what everybody's looking for in the buy-sell relationship. And many companies, as much as 80% of their volume or their total sales comes from 20% of their customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to really nurture that customer base to develop them into personal trade.
So you're sort of you're talking about this salesperson who's developed this relationship with this customer is sort of a brand within your brand.
Yes, and it's that whole concept of developing that friend in the business. And it doesn't just happen by magic. It takes cultivation just like any friendship or any relationship does. Just because you sold them something once doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to come back and be loyal to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one that doesn't believe customer loyalty is dead. I think it's alive and well. I think people are begging for friends in their industry. It's just that professional salesmanship is dead end or dying.
Well, here's where I think people get confused about and get sort of off track on customer loyalty. I don't think customer loyalty is dead because I don't think it will ever be dead because customer loyalty is an emotion.
It really is.
It's not a mechanical thing. It's an emotional thing, and every customer wants to be loyal, but where I think what salespeople where salespeople miss the boat is they think that they want to be loyal to you, but they don't care about you. They want to be loyal to people who fill this emotional need that they have.
Well, and you hit the buzzword right there. You hit the nail on the head. It's teaching people how to focus on the emotional aspect behind the purchase and getting emotionally involved with people rather than just giving them the features and the benefits of the product and taking their money and sending them on their way.
Right.
There's a whole new aspect out there.
Right. Yeah, customer loyalty is not dead, but if you think it is, that means that you don't know how to create customer loyalty.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if that's the case, if that's your situation, if one of your salespeople says that, you know, they just can't seem to get people to be loyal or nobody wants to be loyal anymore, well, that's because your idea of what loyalty is not the same thing as the customer's idea of what loyalty is. And you know what, Brad? I know you know this very well, but this is maybe a shock to some people. We don't get to define that. Only the customer gets to define that.
Well, exactly right. The customer's always right. And if you're not doing everything in your power to get them to the next level to where they're comfortable with you, or taking that even further to where they wouldn't even think about buying your product or service from anybody else but you, then maybe you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm. It always amazes me to see a salesperson who has any kind of a reference in a sales call to what's good for them. You know what I mean? I don't care. You know, and when I'm talking to my customers, they don't care about me.
No, I mean, the customer doesn't care about you, the salesperson, but they expect you to care about them individually, and we have to, because they are the customer. They're
absolutely
always right.
Absolutely. Brad, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Brad Huskin. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and Finger Food for what? Say it again, Brad? Finger food. We're going to tell us about that again in just a minute. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up straight ahead, Bill Haig is going to join us. Bill's a new guy, new friend. He's going to talk to us about the importance of logos. Then after Bill, we're going to be visiting with John Fox, and he and I are going to debate the president's tax policy, his tax proposal, and we're going to see what John has to say about that. Then after that, Joan Sotkin is going to join us, and we're going to talk to Russell Brown after Joan, and I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Right now, let's get back to our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and the new book is called Finger Food.
Finger Food for Salespeople.
For Salespeople, yep. And that's coming out later in the year.
Yep, should be out in a couple of months here.
Okay, that sounds good. Give us your website, Brad.
It's www.iastraining.com.
Iastraining.com.
What
will we find when we get there, Brad?
Well, you're going to find all the different products and services that we offer. Of course, the book will be on there. And my free newsletter called Sales Insight that we send out to subscribers.
By email or fax.
Email or fax, and the price is right. It's free.
How do we get that repeat business, Brad?
Well, repeat business and referral business, there's a couple key points that I want to make. And I mentioned in the last segment that as much as 80% of your volume comes from 20% of your customer base. The thing that people really need to understand, though, is that on an annual basis, they're losing about 20 to 25% of their customer base, just through attrition or people moving away or no longer having a need for the product or service.
Funerals,
changing economic conditions, all those things. Mm-hmm. So just to maintain even, they've got to increase their personal treasure, their customer base, by 20, 25% a year.
That means adding new customers and moving, not only adding new customers, but moving somebody, a new customer or an old customer, into that 20% category, right?
Exactly. And doing everything you can to cultivate that relationship. A repeat customer is a customer that's not quite to the personal trade level yet. It's a customer that we've met, that has done business with us before, that we're in the process of nurturing, that we're keeping in contact with through after the sale follow-up, through communication, through maybe a company newsletter, all those types of things that you can do to stimulate that customer who's purchased from you before to come back and purchase from you again.
Mm-hmm. So you say a repeat customer is somebody that you have a reasonable expectation of them doing business with you again. They may or may not, but you feel like you have a reasonable shot at their next business.
Exactly.
Whereas somebody who is you consider to be in the personal trade category is somebody that you really have a very close relationship with. You know a lot about what they do. You're really kind of integrated into their business?
You're integrated into their business. If they were to come into your showroom or they would contact your company, they would ask for you by name. They know you by name. Maybe you've taken them out to lunch. Maybe you've been to their place of business. Or maybe
they call you up and you are so integrated into their business that they call you up and they don't have to discuss. You don't have to have a 30-minute discussion coming, bringing you up on the learning curve as to what they're doing. They just start talking. They just say, you know, John, we got this new thing coming in, and you know, I'm going to need X, Y, and Z. How long is it going to take you to get it here?
Exactly.
I mean, you actually are part of their almost. You're basically part of the fulfillment of their own dream, their own business plans.
Yeah, and you no longer really have to sell them. All you have to do is service them.
Right. And on a retail level, let's say that I know that you work with jewelry companies a lot.
Yes.
If you've got a customer like that, you know, they would call you up and say, John, you know, I bought the pearls from you last time. I'm probably going to need some earrings to go with them this time.
Probably.
You're part of their overall acquisition process, so to speak.
Well, just to give you an analogy, what I tell jewelers that even if the customer's on a Caribbean cruise and they're at the Emerald store or the Diamond store or, you know, any of those ports of call type places, in the back of their mind, the customer's still thinking, you know what, I better not make this purchase till I go talk to my buddy in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can get them to that level.
Right.
I know we can. So,
what about the referral level?
Well, that's where most people do a real lousy job of asking for referrals. And referrals are the cheapest, most effective form of advertising and marketing that a salesperson could do for themselves. And I'm a strong advocate of going out and being proud of who you are and who you represent and passing out your business card and letting people know what you do for a living and actually generating some business on your own, not sitting back and waiting for the advertising or the Yellow Page ad or your radio spot to actually work for you.
Well, and there is no better entree to a prospect, a suspect, than a referral, is there?
Well, one of the things that I always stress that in any sales environment that the salesperson should ask in every presentation is who recommended our company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful question for several different reasons. If they were recommended by somebody and they give you the name of the person doing the recommending, number one, you'd certainly want to thank that person.
Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
Absolutely. But secondly, you now have a third-party reference that you both have in common, and the trust factor tends to be elevated to an extremely high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially if you can, and if you can take that referral, and when you find out how that person found out about you, and then you can sort of weave your relationship with that person into the new relationship, you can talk about. By finding out who this person was who recommended you, you can talk about how the good relationship that you have with that person, and that sort of elevates you to another level starting out with a new person.
Exactly. You're no longer that stranger.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin, the author of I'm a Salesman, not a PhD, and his website is iastraining.com. We're back at 7 till. Brad Huskin is our guest. His website is iastraining.com. Somebody wanted to call you, Brad. How would they do that?
They would dial 800-248-7703.
Now, if they would like to think about the possibility of using your services to help them train their sales force, how do you help people? Tell us about some of the things that you do for folks out there.
Well, I basically focus on four areas, and that's salesmanship, customer service, communication, and then the sales management process.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about accountability and hiring and coaching and non-negotiable standards and motivation, setting up games, contests, incentives, programs, commission plans, how to run sales meetings.
You help them keep their people in their sales leads process, making sure that if they qualify a prospect that they keep up with that person all the way through this all the steps of the sale, all that?
Exactly. That's the salesmanship portion.
Yep.
Is
mm-hmm.
how to generate business, how to go out and profile customers and keep in contact with them, develop the personal trade, repeat business, referral business, handling objections, closing the sale, all those.
Would you agree with me if I said that one of the biggest areas that small business owners fail in is in sales management?
I think that's the weakest link in the wheel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
why is that?
Well, you know, for some reason I was just teasing a group yesterday that for some reason in small business, we hire people not knowing if they're any good. Then we never check. Then we don't do anything to help them get better. and we wonder why our sales are bad.
Right, and then fire them because they don't do the good, a good job.
Exactly.
Or worse, don't fire them.
Yeah, worse that we let them stay. But, you know, sales ability, and there's no such thing as a born salesperson. And it takes time and it takes effort. And this group yesterday, I asked them how many of them could name the last 10 books that they read on salesmanship. Mm-hmm. And this was a group of salespeople, professional salespeople. None of them raised their hands.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, there's the problem. Is that, you know, you get the job and you reach a certain level of competency or incompetency, and then they let their knowledge and education stop.
It's the problem is in the definition, isn't it? That how people define what a salesperson is.
Exactly.
They think a salesperson is just somebody with a good personality, a gift of gab, and a kit bag full of products and a really sharp business card.
Well, and it's exactly the opposite of that. A great
right.
salesperson is a great listener and has the ability to converse and just curious as heck.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggie, isn't it? I'm glad you brought that up. Curiosity. If I could have a salesperson, if I could have one characteristic in a salesperson, perhaps being curious would be on top of the list.
Yeah, it'd certainly be number two with me. Listening skills would mm-hmm. be number one, and then curiosity number two.
Well, and they actually kind of go together, because if you're curious, you realize that you're not going to get your curiosity assuaged if you're not listening.
Exactly, and you're not asking the right questions to,
mm-hmm.
to pique that customer's interest to mm-hmm. get them talking to you.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why I was successful as a salesperson. I am perhaps the most curious person in the face of the earth.
If there's anything I've learned about you, Jim, over the last 3 years, that would be it.
Well, I just want to know about things. I just want to know how people, how things work, and you know, it's just very interesting to me. And so, you know, and I bet you there are people out there right now, Brad, who are saying, you know what, I never thought to ask a prospective salesperson that.
Sure. And, you know, I've always said that a customer will tell you everything you need to know to develop a relationship if you just listen hard enough.
Just shut up for
exactly.
a little while.
And ask a couple of questions. Listen really hard and then
yeah.
get emotionally involved with them.
Right. You know, one of the best things that I used to do is to get a customer, get a prospect to give me a tour of their operation.
Sure.
You know, I know in retail it's a little harder to do that, but you at least get them to tell you about what they do. But people love to give you tours of their business.
Well, it really is easy if you think about it. In every industry, you can get a tour of their business. You can have them sit down and draw out the layout of their backyard or their landscaping or their patio or their pool or
right.
their home or
right.
tell them about the jewelry wardrobe or, you know, how often do you wear business clothes. You know, you can do it if you just think about it and focus on the interests of your customer.
Well, and one thing that happens subliminally in all this is that comes across is that you're acting like you're interested in them and what they're doing and what they do.
Well, and that's you said a key word there, not just acting like, but actually genuinely being interested.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. Brad, well done today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure.
Good job. The book is called I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. The new book coming out, give us the name again.
Finger Food for Salespeople.
Yeah, and that'll be out in a couple of months. We'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, next time you're thinking about taking a risk, think about this. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.